big.
Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast is a look back at some of what we got done on our morning show. We are back on the air. Today, Darren, is the 6-year anniversary of our last show at the old place. And now look at us. I mean, in a way, and I meant to say this earlier on the air, but I guess I'll save it for now. In a way, thank God we got out of that situation. I mean, I wasn't thrilled about it at the time, but with the benefit of hindsight, you and me here with all that we've accomplished building a Nacho Radio and now this Planet 93.9, I mean, it was, in the end, it was a good thing.
It was a slog.
There's no reason it should have taken 6 years, but we're here now and we're happy we're here. And we wanted to start off by saying how appreciative we are of all that you've done for us in the 6 years. Do you remember, and I know you want to get out of here, but
go right ahead.
Do you remember when we got fired for the country station that was going to lure all those, you know, young females over, and that thing tanked? No hard feelings. We wish him the best.
I don't.
We would just sit at your house in your Three Seasons room and look at all the Facebook comments from people.
Yeah.
Just trashing that company for their stupid decision.
Yeah, that was fun.
I liked that.
It was a good time.
That was fun. Anyway, it all worked out. And now we're here and you're here with us. And we're very glad about that. So thank you for joining us and being here with us for all of it.
And we still have the podcast, and it's brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan, and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only, and the recreational waiting list, those are available if you go to the website, which is ntillinois.com.
Suppose we should get started with the
with number
the podcast.
One.
All right, yeah. Well, here it is.
Number one.
Number one.
NHL team from Chicago, the Blackhawks, making an announcement about their name.
Yes.
This going on right now with everything that's going on. You've got sports teams that are
reconsidering,
having discussions about their name. I got to say this. If Cleveland goes to the Spiders, which was their original name when they were a National League team.
You're down with it, huh? Is that your new team?
It can't be because they were a divisional rival of my team, which is the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, but you got everything you were going to get out of the White Sox.
No, buddy. This is not the time to bail on the White Sox. They're about to start
It'd be an interesting time to bail. No one's going to be a dynasty in baseball. It's too hard to win.
They just need to win one more.
Too hard to win.
Yeah, we'll win one, and then we can worry about the dynasty aspect of things.
Although, if you win this year, you know.
The logos I've seen, the mock-ups for the Cleveland
Spiders
jersey, pretty boss.
Nice.
It's pretty. I mean, I think that's, yeah. As far as the NFL team in Washington, currently calling themselves the Redskins, what do you do there if they change their name? There have been some thoughts about, like, go with Warriors or something, so you kind of keep a Native American aspect, but it's just not a racist
term. I don't know why you don't go with the Pigskins.
That's what you think. And then Let's Go Skins and all that still stays
still,
in place.
It's still a thing. It's a football.
My high school was the Redskins, and
But now they're the Red Storm.
No.
They're not?
They're the Red...
Menace.
Red Hawks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Marist Red Hawks, not the Red Menace. That's
what
right.
What are they teaching in that school?
Yeah. The Redskin name was problematic, so we changed it to...
Changed it.
To Commies. No, my high school changed the name in the 1990s to the Red Hawks.
Red Hawks.
Which at the time, there was a lot of hem and haw about, well, this isn't right, and, you know, it's a way to honor Native Americans. And after a year, everyone just accepted that the new name was great. It's fine. It's a name for a team. We don't have to put that much thought into it. The Blackhawks in the NHL, there's been suggestions that maybe that's not the best name. Maybe that's not cool. Maybe that's something they should rethink, you know. They issued a statement last night, the Blackhawks. This is in light, again, of discussions by the Redskins and the Cleveland Indians to maybe change their names that are related to Native Americans. Blackhawks put out this statement yesterday. It says the Chicago Blackhawks name and logo. And keep in mind, that team is named after a local dude. right? I mean, Chief Blackhawk, WHBF, Channel 4. You know what WHBF stands for? Where Historic Blackhawk Fought.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. You got your Blackhawk Park, you got your Blackhawk neighborhood, you got the big statue of him there that's...
Blackhawk College?
Yes! That's our guy!
Look at me.
Blackhawks pushing this out last night that says the Chicago Blackhawks name and logo symbolizes an important and historic person, Blackhawk of Illinois, Sac and Fox Nation, whose leadership and life has inspired generations of Native Americans, veterans, and the public. We celebrate Blackhawk's legacy by offering ongoing, reverent examples of Native American culture, traditions, and contributions, providing a platform for genuine dialogue with local and national Native American groups. As the team's popularity grew over the past decade, so did that platform and our work with these important organizations. We recognize there is a fine line between respect and disrespect, and we commend other teams for their willingness to engage in that conversation. Moving forward, we are committed to raising the bar even higher to expand awareness of Black Hawk and the important contributions of all Native American people. We will continue to serve as stewards of our name and identity, and will do so with a commitment to evolve. Our endeavors in this area have been sincere and multifaceted, and the path forward will draw on that experience to grow as an organization and expand our efforts. They frequently, it says here, honor, I'm reading from the article in the Chicago Sun-Times, the Hawks frequently honor Native Americans with game ovations and intermission performances, but other Native American groups in Illinois are denouncing the name and the logo for perpetrating racist stereotypes. So you got Native American groups in Illinois saying, we got a problem with it. And the Blackhawks are saying, ah, the Native Americans love it. They think it's terrific.
Not everyone.
No. No, so I don't know what to do there. I mean, there's been suggestion of changing the logo, and instead of it being Blackhawk's face, it would just be a hawk, you know?
An actual Blackhawk.
An actual Blackhawk. You could do that.
Yes.
And still, you know, it's, I don't know, it's tricky stuff. But if Native Americans in Illinois are telling you they got a problem with it, then... I don't know that this statement really solves anything.
Yeah, I don't know if the hawk will last.
You think they'll... Oh, I see what you did there. On this, our important anniversary, right?
Oh.
Christmas in July! Young females are gonna love it! Wish him the best.
I don't.
So, I don't know. I feel like... The Blackhawks is less problematic than certainly visiting for the D.C. football team, right?
Yes.
And growing up, going to a high school that had Redskins as our mascot, you know, there was a thing that was every year they'd have the kickoff pep rally. And whoever got to be the mascot of the team.
And it was you?
I never had anything to do with this. Other than hooting and hollering for 4 years at the pep rally when it happened. Whoever the guy was that was going to be the mascot for the football team, they would dress him up in Native American garb or, you know, something they got from a costume shop. And then one of the big things every year before the first game is they would shave his kid's head.
Oh, no.
And then he would just hoot and holler around.
Oh, boy.
And, I mean, looking back on it, tremendously racist. Like,
my favorite is
not cool at all.
My favorite is...
But at the time, we thought it was fantastic.
My favorite assembly was involved the flag line.
What is that?
The girls with the flags.
Yeah, we didn't have girls in my high school.
Well,
explain it to me like I don't know what you're talking about.
Have you? Because
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Have you ever been to a high school where they have flag girls?
No.
You've never been to a football game? A high school football game?
Well, a lot of the teams that we played were also male schools.
Okay, so can you have you seen a college football game?
I suppose.
On television.
So they have flags.
They have flags.
Uh-huh.
And they will do stuff with the flags.
Okay.
Moving the flags around. They will, you know, they're synchronized.
Okay.
Yeah. They would do some sort of flag thing.
That's a cheerleading thing, or that's its own thing?
It's like a cheer thing. It's not the cheerleaders. You have cheerleaders, and then you would have pom-pom girls, and then you would also have the flag line. And the flag.
You just said pom-pom girls like I say chicken sesame, by the way. You would have pom-pom girls. Well, you just said pom-pom girls like you're Charlotte Ray.
Girls!
Pom-pom girls!
Girls! Girls!
With machine guns!
Anyway, the flag line, they had the flag line, and they would have their synchronized routine, mm-hmm. Not unlike synchronized swimming. Not that strong a swimmer.
Yeah.
One time, one of the girls in the flag line had a sneezing fit. And during the sneezing fit, she pretty much beat the hell out of the other girls with her flag.
That's fantastic.
Well, she just couldn't control it. And while you're sneezing, you're still whipping around that flag.
What did the other girls think
of
this?
Well, they took a beating.
Did it their tried. Performance?
They tried.
So she's just
sneezing
gone
and
rogue.
Well, unintentionally.
It looks like she's decided, F this flag nonsense, and right. Here's what I'm going to do
it. I've got a grievance with you two.
Yeah, right. This one made a pass at my boyfriend, and this one knew about it and didn't tell me, and I'm going to wait for this moment to strike. But it was a sneezing fit.
It was a sneezing fit.
So rather than drop the flag
or
remove herself line.
She just, yes.
Just beat the hell out of the other girls with a stick.
I'm sneezing, but I have this flag in my hands, and I'm not even aware that I have this flag in my hands at this point during the sneezing fit.
It's so involuntary.
Yes, it's so involuntary.
That's fantastic. That happened at your high school?
Yeah.
Wow. That might be my favorite Pepperelli story ever.
Good times.
Two.
We were talking about how robots in the field might help farmers get rid of herbicides and pesticides. That they're testing out these robots. Some of them are as big as a car. Some are like little lawnmowers. And these things are just constantly patrolling the fields get rid of weeds. Either by tilling them, disturbing them, picking at them, or electrically shocking them, I think that's my favorite.
Hmm.
I would love to have a head of lettuce that a robot was just constantly sending electricity into the ground. I think that would improve the flavor.
Would you like one
of those? The flavor of lettuce.
Would you like one of those for the home?
There's been talk in our home about getting one of those Roombas. You know those little
for
robots?
The lawn?
No, for the house. A vacuum cleaner for the house.
You don't already have one of those?
No. I'm the Roomba.
You are the Roomba.
That's my job. Yeah. So I don't feel great about being phased out.
I think my brother got one recently.
And
he's like, it's the greatest thing ever.
That's
because he would vacuum quite a bit. Yeah. I know that you are a vacuuming enthusiast.
Every Wednesday and Saturday. Those vacuum days.
Two times a week?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think he might even do it more than that.
Yeah.
So this was like a real treat for him.
When we were looking at him, they're still a little pricey.
Sure.
It's like $300. And there's another one that's, I think, $500, and it's got a better battery or something. I don't know.
Can you program them to bring you stuff?
No. All they do is vacuum your home.
Okay.
That's it. They learn your home and they vacuum. If you have one of these Roombas, talk me into it or talk me out of it. The text line here for the Dave and Darren Show is 470-23-NACHO. What are you laughing at?
Talk me out of it.
Talk me out of it. So, again, robots. We had the story a couple of weeks ago where, because there are some ethical concerns about swimming with dolphins, when you go to a resort and they say, hey, you can swim with dolphins, that may not be great for dolphins to be kept in captivity so that people can swim with them. And there's a guy that is developed a robot dolphin that looks and acts.
You'll never know the difference.
Exactly like a real dolphin, only it's a robot. And now it costs millions and millions of dollars per robot. But you save on the upkeep, right? You're not buying
dolphin
sardines in bulk.
Dolphin chow.
What do dolphins eat? Just little fish, right? Dolphin chow.
I think there is dolphin chow.
For real?
Yeah.
Is that what Gary's eating up in the booth with Ed Podolak, or that's a real thing?
When he's not suspended.
So now, this story I think is fascinating. A new use for robots. A robot that will help bring back salad bars at your local supermarket. Haven't had that as an option for a couple of months, the salad bar at your supermarket. Mm-hmm. It's just closed down. Story here from Bloomberg says grocery stores are doing whatever it takes, including deploying robots to save their lucrative salad bars.
Oh, that's lucrative, huh?
They make a lot of money on that salad.
A lot.
Matthew Boyle writes here in Bloomberg, in a frantic push to ease skittish consumers and shore up sales, some supermarket chains are tossing prepackaged salads into the bar's now empty bins. A stopgap measure that's easy to do, but eliminates the customization. You know, your extra onions, your croutons.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put raisins in my salad. For me, that's the mark of
luxury.
Salad excellence. When you go to a salad bar and they have raisins as an option.
That's the one thing I won't put in my salad.
Oh, for me, that is the mark of elegance and class. If they have raisins as an option.
Yeah, it sure is.
When you go to like
sure is.
A Ponderosa, a Sizzler, if you'll have it, and they have raisins as an option.
Is it Sizzler?
Sizzler. That's right.
Is there an extra letter in there?
Well, if you're fancy, like me, if you, you know, demand the finer things, demand elegance.
Do you start with the raisins or do you add the raisins last?
No, raisins are towards the end.
Toward the end.
But not the very end. That I reserve for the cheese, the croutons, and the salad dressing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, what sort of salad dressing goes well with raisins?
Ranch dressing, of course.
Okay.
What a ridiculous question.
You're a barbarian.
Not at all. Raisins are the best on a salad. It's like candy. It's like
ranch flavored raisins, huh?
Oh, it's the best. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. Publix supermarkets. That's a big chain in the South, right?
Okay.
They placed an employee next to the salad bar to take orders during peak hours. But the problem with that is you're slowing things down and there is an additional labor cost, right?
So,
like a salad bar lifeguard, essentially.
Cop?
Yeah.
Salad bar cop?
Okay, I will get your stuff from the salad bar. What is it that you want? That's how that works.
Oh, I don't want you touching my stuff.
That's what I say, too.
No, not that much.
The whole point of the salad bar is I'm the god. I'm the salad god, not you.
How often do you overdo it?
With salads?
Yeah.
At a salad bar?
Yeah.
I would say anywhere between 99 and 100% of the time.
You overdo it. It's like, oh, I now I don't have room for anything because I filled up on salad.
Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah, you got to.
I can't finish my steak. I'm full of raisins. Whole Foods Market says that they are looking at something to do because they have these giant, you know, the infrastructure of these supermarkets, these salad bars take up a lot of space.
Uh-huh.
And that's space that they're not making any money
on. But you're saying the margins are worth it.
Oh, yeah. Salad bars drive store visits, especially during the middle of the day.
Huh.
When nobody goes to
for
the grocery
lunch?
Store, everyone goes there for lunch. And the profit margin on a salad bar is super attractive because, one, no labor, right? You just lay out the food and the shoppers do all the compiling of the food, the salad.
Uh-huh.
You will find salad bars in more than 90% of American supermarkets. Very lucrative.
Not in
sales
all these.
Sales by volume have been declining for several years. That's according to data tracker IRI. As a salad-centric restaurant chain, like your Sweet Green or your Salad Works, those have expanded and lured away some of the crowd. But even before the pandemic happened, there were some grocery store shoppers that wanted nothing to do with a salad bar because it's, you know,
open air.
Yeah. You got a sneeze guard. But really, the sneeze guard is limited in what it can and can't stop, right?
Well, yeah. If you spit
you got, it. Well, you got some maniac just touching the ham cubes.
I like to put my fingers in the beans. That's how I find if they're ripe or not.
Don't put your fingers in the beans.
Now, with the pandemic happening, more than 80% of consumers say they think of grocery store salad bars as being just far too risky.
Well, they're not even open.
Right. But they're not open because we, the public, are saying, no thanks. Albertsons, another one of these big grocery store chains, they're experimenting with a couple of different options, like, you know, prepackaged salads. Although, you know, here locally, we've had stories where Hy-Vee had to pull all of the prepackaged salads.
It's true.
Because there was a risk of getting some sort of
trots.
Yeah, right. You think you're getting a packaged salad, and instead you're just getting...
You got colon blow.
Right. I thought it'd be easier to just to buy this salad, you know, prepackaged, and instead what I bought was a big bag of...
Diarrhea.
That's coming in a week or so.
Uh-huh.
No thanks. So how do you fix this? Well, the answer is Sally. Sally, the salad bar robot. She costs $35,000.
She's stacked.
Sally comes from a Bay Area startup called Chowbotics. And she'll be making her...
And yes, we are investors.
Made its debut at a grocery store in Ohio. In fact, this week. It looks like a vending machine.
Huh.
Holds 22 separate ingredients, including all your dressings. And then...
The robot's the salad bar.
There's a touch screen. Also, mobile ordering is something you can do, so the salad's ready when you go and pick it up. And you will be able to use the touchscreen or use the app to have the robot, which again looks like a giant vending machine, it makes the salad for you.
Spit out your salad, huh?
At first, for this week, as Sally the salad robot gets things started, she'll dish out 5 standard salads. $6.99 each. You can get your Cobb salad, your chicken Caesar, but then soon shoppers will be able to customize the menu and get more adventurous. Eventually, Sally could be used for soups, grain bowls, parfaits, even full meals. You aren't going to be able to get as many people in and out of the salad bar as you were before. The limit on Sally is she can do between 30 to 35 salads in an hour. But they think that these machines will pay for themselves in a couple of months.
It's a customized salad vending machine.
Mm, essentially, yeah. From a cost perspective, it makes sense for grocery stores to do this. So what I'm telling you is, if this thing takes off in Ohio like I think it's going to, because we're and you know I'm again, I just see that... If you've got a part of your grocery store that makes a lot of money, and now we've all kind of decided that whatever the next normal is, maybe we're not comfortable with just food being left out for everyone to look at like it has been. Maybe even if COVID-19 goes away tomorrow, maybe these salad robots are how things get done.
Yeah, but there are other sort of buffets. So there'll be other... buffet robots.
Are the Mongolian grills open right now?
I don't know.
Because the last I had heard that they weren't, but check my math on that. Maybe they are. Because you're kind of a similar situation, those Mongolian grills, where it's a salad bar and then you...
Right.
You're supposed to use tongs, obviously, just like you would at a salad bar. But
they are heated up.
There is that. But is it still... Is that...
Yeah, I don't know if
is there
going to
be some sort of robot there? I don't know. But what I'm telling you is a year from now, when you walk into Hy-Vee and there's a robot where the salad bar used to be, remember you heard about it here on the Dave and Darren Show.
And we got in on the ground floor.
Well, I wish believe me, I would invest heavily in this if it was an option. Somebody said you want to throw a couple bucks into a robot that makes salads?
Couple bucks, that sounds heavily.
I'd say, well, that's what I can afford right now.
Listen, it's heavily.
For me, a couple bucks is quite a commitment. I have 2 questions. How much do you need? And are there raisins in a robot? Those are my 2 questions. And if you answer both to my satisfaction...
Not is there a ghost in the machine, but is there raisins in the robot?
I'm not worried about a salad robot, you know, becoming weaponized. I'm not going to be linking up to Skynet anytime soon, I shouldn't think.
Hmm.
And if it does, if it's got raisins, I'll take that chance.
You'll allow it.
Number 3.
3.
3.
3.
Got a delightful story here from the Sunshine State.
Florida.
Phil's still with us.
We do have fun with Florida. Here's a story from St. Petersburg, where a female jogger was out for a morning run. Mm-hmm. You know, it's St. Petersburg. You wanna stay in shape. And out for a run about 7 o'clock in the morning. When they're on the roadside, she saw something that was a little strange. Mm-hmm. Imagine you find something like this and you have to look at it a couple of times to make sure that you're actually seeing
it right.
What you're seeing.
Because that's the sort of thing where you could be jogging mm-hmm. and you're on top of something mm-hmm. before you even realize it.
Right.
Well, what is this?
What she found, Darren, was a human head.
Ooh.
Yeah. Police say she reported the human head that she found while on her jog there in St. Petersburg.
I would think that the first thing that you would naturally do
mm-hmm.
is kind of look around, right?
if you're jogging and you... This is, first of all, why I don't jog. But also, yeah.
That's the excuse.
Every law and order. Every law and order starts with some knucklehead...
Someone jogging.
On a bike or for a jog, and they come across a dead body.
Finding something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens.
But if you find just the head...
Oh, that's worse.
You have to do the kind of...
Right? Am I on...
360? Well, no.
On candid camera?
No, not on candid...
Is Alan Funt going to come out?
No, not... We
thought it'd be funny if we put a human head in the road.
You're not looking around because you think you're being punked.
Why would you be looking around?
To see where the rest of it is. You think it's a gag.
Well, that would be if I was walking down the street or jogging down the street in this hypothetical
uh-huh.
and I saw a human head,
yeah.
I would assume it was a gag.
So even if it was obviously very real.
Listen, every Halloween we talk about this. Every Halloween there are two stories. Without fail, there are two stories. One is a person calls the police
because
they have seen a dead body, and it turns out that it's just a really good Halloween decoration. The flip side of that story, and it happens every year as sure as you're born, is a dead body is confused for a Halloween decoration. Mm-hmm. There's something in our brain that doesn't quite... I think if I just saw a human head on the side of the road, I would think, okay.
You would think you're being punked?
Somebody's having a laugh here.
You would think you're on candid camera.
I would. Alan Funt's coming out.
Would you poke it?
Oh, no.
You wouldn't touch it?
I don't think so, no. It's hard to...
You wouldn't kick it, would you?
No. Well, whose head is it?
Well, that's a good
There's
question.
There's a couple people I would kick the
that,
head.
That's a,
but
that's
if
a
it was just
question.
A random person I didn't know... They say that this thing
yeah,
has...
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't kick it into the woods. It's like, that's not helping
this
anybody.
This is none of my business.
This is none of my business, and it's nobody's business. I'm going to kick it into the woods.
They don't believe the person died at the scene. They say the remains likely ended up on the road in the past 2 days. The remains of this head were badly decomposed, making it
Imagine.
Difficult to determine the person's race or gender. Detectives shut down the intersection... and they're looking, I guess, probably for the rest of the body, right?
Right. That's what I would... That's why I said you'd look around.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of it?
Well, I would assume that, knowing St. Petersburg like I know St. Petersburg, I would assume the rest of the body's probably in the Gulf.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know St. Petersburg.
Well, yeah.
You would have to...
Someday, Darren, I must take you down there and show you... My St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Because it's, I'll take you to the 4th Street Shrimp Store. We'll go to the Dolly Museum. We will make a day of it.
No.
Let me show you. We'll go to Cycle. We'll go to Cigar City. It's going to be marvelous.
Yeah, keep it.
I love it down there. Although I don't love this story. You know, people say in the neighborhood they're a little creeped out by it. Do you think? There's a human head on the side of the road? Yeah, no, I think being creeped out by it is an appropriate response. Let me ask you this. You go for a jog on Tuesday.
I'm out
yesterday,
jogging. I'm
and
out.
You find a human head.
Yeah.
You go out for a jog this morning? You think she went out for a jog? The woman who found the head in her jog, 7
yeah,
o'clock
what,
yesterday morning.
What
Does
the,
she go out today for a jog?
Well, you can go a different route.
I get a treadmill is what I do. No thanks.
I do the stairs.
Because of the remains, They have not been able to ascertain age, gender, or ethnicity, but they do know that it is a human head. Police think it happened in the last 40 hours because the jogger told them she ran in the same area on Sunday and didn't see anything unusual. The head was spotted in a grassy area under an overpass yesterday morning about 7 o'clock. But they say it's not an active crime scene. St. Petersburg police going through missing persons files. But again, they don't know the age or gender or race of the person whose head this is, so I don't know what good that does you. That's a puzzle, huh? Well, it kind of looks like this guy. Kind of looks like everybody. If you don't know what the gender or race or age is.
Everyone's got one.
Right?
That we have in common.
Yeesh.
Number four.
American Samoa is an unincorporated territory of our United States, located in the South Pacific. Oh, it's a bit of a drive to get there.
Sure.
And if you drive, you won't get there.
Very isolated.
Five main islands, two coral atolls. There are about 55,000 people that live there on American Samoa. It is interesting to point out, at least I think, that American Samoa has the highest rate of military enlistment of any United State or territory. Local Army recruiting station, the U.S. Army recruiting station, they're in American Samoa, in Pago Pago, rated first in production out of the 885 Army recruiting stations and centers.
They set the bar.
Pago Pago, man.
We're hitting our numbers.
They're hitting the numbers out of the park there in American Samoa. I bring this up because American Samoa is in the news this morning.
Yeah.
This guy, Sio Agafili, spent five extra years in prison.
Five extra years?
Yeah, because nobody told him he was done.
What? My sentence is over?
No one told him that, though. He spent five extra years in prison because neither he nor prison authorities realized that his two sentences were supposed to be served concurrently,
sure,
not consecutively.
Right.
At the same time, not one after another. Guy's 45 years old. He was supposed to be released in December of 2015, but he remained in jail until a judge spotted the error when he was in court on another matter.
Hey, take a look at this.
The judge basically saying, why are you still in jail? You should have been out in December 2015. I'm looking at the paperwork.
Okay.
And this guy says, well, nobody told me when my jail term will end. I lost count of the days behind bars. I don't remember much about when I should be out. I just know I had to serve my time. This guy was convicted of burglary and theft in November of 2008 and sentenced to 7 years in prison. In December 2008, he was convicted on unrelated counts of burglary and theft and sentenced to 5 years in prison. Those sentences should have been served concurrently. He should have been out of jail December of 2015. The error was only noticed by a Supreme Court justice last week ahead of his appearance over an assault that was allegedly committed during a mass breakout from a prison there in American Samoa where he was being held. Are you really breaking out of prison if you're not even supposed to be there today?
I can come and go as I please.
Police conceded in court that he was, in fact, being detained illegally, and he was released on bail ahead of his sentencing on the assault charge.
Oh, there'll be no bail.
This guy did an extra 4 years and 8 months in prison because basically, I didn't really pay attention as to when I was supposed to get out.
You really kind of should.
Wouldn't that be,
that would
if
be
you
the,
were sentenced...
That would be the one burning thing
that's,
that would consume you.
Right. This is the day I get out of here.
Yeah, I'm cash.
I don't know. They told me I'm supposed to be here for a while. They'll let me know when I'm done, I guess. It's not time out, man. It's prison. There are dates certain assigned to these things.
My nephew played football at Augustana,
mm-hmm.
and Augustana is in a conference called the CCIW, and one of the schools within the CCIW is a school that's in Chicago called North Park.
Okay.
And they have a football team as well. And for some reason, they have a pipeline. If you take a look at their roster, and I took a look at their roster over the course of the 4 years that he played,
yeah,
they had a consistent pipeline of football players from Samoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they had some sort of outreach to Samoa, and they would have at least a handful, 4 or 5 kids each and every year playing football in Chicago from Samoa.
Who, and the hope is that they would then go on to play in the pros.
Well,
right?
There's plenty of Samoans in the NFL. Not to play in the pros, but for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man.
That particular college had an outreach to the island of Samoa.
Well, the reason the college had that outreach is they're really good at football. And I'm sorry if that's racist, but there have been some excellent American Samoan players in the NFL, right?
There's been some, yeah.
Quite a couple of Hall of Famers for a population of 55,000, a disproportionate number of exceptional football players come from American Samoa, right?
Yeah, but I'm just talking Division III football.
No, I get it. But you don't think they go there to think, okay,
oh, no, maybe? I think it probably has more of an out... It's probably more, much more of an educational type thing, but they do end up playing football while they're there.
There are 30 Samoans, all from American Samoa, right now in the NFL. More than 200 Samoans are playing Division I college football.
Uh-huh.
In recent years, the estimate is that a Samoan male is anywhere from 40 to 56 times more likely to play in the NFL than a non-Samoan American.
Isn't that some 40 to 50 times more?
40 to 56 times.
Wow.
If you're Samoan, you are 40 to 56 times more likely to play NFL than an American who's not.
That's wild. A Samoan. That's wild.
The nickname for the Samoan Islands is Football Islands. They are the most disproportionately overrepresented ethnic group in the NFL.
So winning some sort of Samoan football championship is really something.
I will say this, yes. Whoever wins the state title, or I guess the territory title, whatever they have down there with the high schools there.
Yes. You think
that would be something I would watch on ESPN.
You think it's a big deal in Florida or Texas.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You've never been to Samoa.
You think Texas is, you know, football is so ingrained in the culture in Texas, and indeed it is. But in Samoa, if the best players in Samoa were to play the best players in Texas in a high school in a neutral field, that's your Super Bowl. I'd watch that. And Samoa would probably win.
40 to 56 times. That's something else.
You are 40 to 56 times more likely to play in the NFL if you're a Samoan than if you're just regular.
I wonder what NFL team is most popular in Samoa.
Ooh. Well,
because none of
them. I would guess
are
the Chargers because of Junior Seau, and because San Diego's probably the closest.
As close as you get.
Right? Like, isn't that what you do? You gravitate towards the closest NFL team?
None of them are close, but that's as close as they get.
Well, picture this. What time do you think the NFL games are on in American Samoa?
Pretty early.
Right?
Pretty darn early.
I mean, to watch an NFL game in American Samoa, that's a commitment. Or is it prime time? When would that be? No.
Well, it'd be like 6 hours earlier, right? So if you had a noon game, it'd be like 6 o'clock in the morning, something like that?
Yeah. Well, I know, because like trying to watch NFL when you're on the West Coast is hard enough when it's like 10 a.m. and the game starts. That's hard. Because you got to get up, you know. Okay, so it's... Yeah, you're right. They're 6 hours, 6 hours behind us.
6 hours behind, not earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's earlier in the morning.
Right. So they're 6 hours behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the noon games are six o'clock in the morning. You're right. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's just...
So you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to watch the NFL?
Do it to it.
Probably got to get up before to watch the pregame.
Oh, yeah, gotta.
I mean, it's essential. Number five. We do have dangerous heat to deal with today, but at least we're not dealing with dangerous snakes. Two stories here. The first one from Australia, where a trucker is said to be doing okay after battling a snake on a busy highway. This happened in Queensland.
Okay, there's a snake on the highway.
I'm writing these down. These are good lyrics.
You're a semi-truck driver.
Yeah, right.
How are you battling a snake?
Police in Queensland, Australia, say they stopped this 27-year-old trucker. They stopped him for speeding. But when they approached, he informed that he just survived an animal attack. He told the cops that while he was driving, an eastern brown snake appeared in the cab.
Okay, so it's in the cab.
And began to wrap itself around him, forcing him to use his seatbelt and a knife to fend it off. Driving a semi while having a knife fight with a snake.
I like it.
That's the most heavy metal thing I've ever heard in my life.
In Australia?
Come on.
That is an AC/DC song.
It's worth pointing out that the... Right. This is nothing to take lightly because an eastern brown snake is the second deadliest snake in the world amongst land snakes.
Did he have proof of the snake?
Oh, yeah.
He did. Okay. So he wasn't just making up a story. Because it's a pretty story.
There's the knife fight with the snake. So, no, this isn't like, had a rough night last night. No, I'm seeing snakes. There's an actual snake. You can look at the footage of this. Second deadliest land snake on planet Earth. It bit the chair between the truck driver's legs a couple of times. And then the cops pulled the truck over. You can see the whole thing, all the footage of this guy driving a truck while having a knife fight.
Do you still get the ticket?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
You know what's an amazing story is the one that we told earlier this year about the guy who somehow adheres himself to the bottom of a semi-truck?
That's still the greatest story.
And it's full of wine.
Mm-hmm. It was a tanker.
It was a tanker.
Tanker full of wine.
He somehow... I don't know how, adheres himself to the bottom of the tanker and opens up the tanker and starts drinking the wine out of it.
While it's moving.
While it's moving.
Because he tricked the truck into pulling over and so then that he can climb underneath it. Then the truck drives away. He undoes the cap at the bottom of the tanker, taking off his shirt so he doesn't get any wine on him.
Who does
that? And then while he was on the highway, he just helped himself.
I mean, Spider-Man couldn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because he's got that mask on, the wine would. Although, does Spider-Man ever eat or drink in any of the movies?
I think that's something more for Peter Parker to do.
So when, I think when, so he's, when he's not Spider-Man. Spider-Man doesn't have an appetite.
I think when he's web-slinging, he doesn't need to eat. I don't think. But he can very easily pull the mask up just over his mouth if he needed to have like a hot dog or something.
You would think that it would be so advanced that... he'd be able to actually just go ahead and eat right through the mask.
Well, you know, that doesn't really make for compelling watching.
I
just got done fighting, you know, the Green Goblin, and now I'm going to sit down and have a sandwich. There's a reason that would be edited out of the film.
But, Gary. I mean, if he's swinging around, there's no reason why he couldn't... If he's swinging around, there's no reason why he couldn't have, like, a walking taco.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe that's something they do in the comic books. I don't know. Does he eat flies or does he just eat regular food? He just eats regular food, right?
I would think so.
What does Spider-Man eat?
Good question.
Does he eat flies? No, that would be weird. I guess in the PlayStation 4 game that my son has finished, there's a scene where you can eat pizza as Spider-Man.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's something you can do if you're so inclined.
Through the mask.
He must have like a quiet moment where he's able to pull just the mouth part of the... Here we go. Here he is. He's got a pizza.
Uh-huh.
New York City pizza. Pepperoni.
I love you.
He's talking
but
to
now,
the pizza.
Sure.
I must destroy you.
Well, they cut away right before he eats the pizza.
See, I think he eats right through the mask.
That's,
I think it's like a magic mask.
That's one of those mysteries, I guess. We'll never know the answer to that. Closer to home, by the way, while we're dealing with these deadly snakes. This is in Overland Park. Guy's doorbell keeps ringing. Overland Park, Kansas.
And it's a snake at the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy in Overland Park, Kansas, doorbell keeps ringing. Who the hell's ringing my doorbell? Well, he's got one of them cameras on his doorbell, you know? And
what, it's a snake.
Yeah, it's a 4-foot rat snake that's coming up and ringing his doorbell. He says, not what I was expecting. Rat snake just hanging out on my Ring doorbell.
Yeah, because the snake wouldn't know that you shouldn't be just dropping by in these times.
No.
The snake wouldn't know that.
He says, I thought it was a lizard. I saw some motion. I was wondering how he got here. Then I come out here and I see we have a snake. Now, rat snakes are not at all like the snakes in Australia. They're not venomous, and they're pretty common in Kansas. They kill their prey by constriction, and they can grow as big as 7 feet. This one was 4 feet. So this guy gets shocked that this thing was ringing his doorbell. He then took it upon himself to relocate the snake to a nearby creek. So the snake, this snake is doing
fine. You're going to the creek.
Yeah. Now, as for the Australian snake, what happened to that snake?
This is what happened to the snake.
And then?
And then this is what happened to the snake.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I guess that's what passes for morning radio these days.
How about it, huh?
Those were your top five things. We want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading and subscribing. If you get a chance, leave a review on iTunes. That's super helpful to the cause. This podcast has been brought to you by Nature's Treatment.
And Nature's Treatment of Illinois' goal is to fully understand their clients' need physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants can sit down with you and go right through it. Discuss all the options that work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered at the website. That would be ntillinois.com.
Thanks so much for listening. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hasta la vista, suckers.